Text of this particular verse that most of us will recognize in Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple things here. Being led by the Holy Spirit, church, we really need to like demystify this. I've been doing this for years, trying to say, look, I think a lot of us times think that if I really listen to the Holy Spirit, He's going to tell me to move to Timbuktu and, eat ants and preach to whoever lives in Timbuktu. I don't know who lives out there, but that's actually a town. Did you know that? When I was a kid, my parents would say that. I didn't know those. That's actually a city in Africa. Did you guys know that? Timbuktu. But you know what I mean? We get this idea, I think, in the back of our minds, if we're honest, that the Holy Spirit, if we really listen to Him, He's going to tell us to do something that's just completely insane. And He might. He might. But typically, He understands that if He just drops a nuclear bomb on us in the Holy Ghost, we're probably going to just give up. Can I get amen? He'll give us a little piece of the puzzle and say, come on, man. Come on. You're all right. Is that all right, church? And I think because we're kind of afraid of that, we kind of don't do anything. We're just like, I'm going to stay in my little comfort zone here and just be a Christian, and which is okay, I guess. But if we want to see God, I remember years ago the Lord said to me, if you want to see me do something miraculous, you need to be willing to walk into situations that are impossible.
Amen. Expectation.
If we don't need a miracle, why is He going to give us one? Right? We need to be able to step into like, I don't know how to work this one out. And we need God to show up. Because if He doesn't show up, it's going to blow up. Is that okay? So a couple of thoughts here, then we'll get into this passage of scripture. I heard this preacher the other day said this. I thought it was interesting. He said, the flesh will fight us when we want to pray. You can write this one down if you want to. The flesh will fight us when we want to pray, but the devil will fight you when you go to read the Word of God. By the way, the sermon this morning, which I'm not going to get through the whole thing, we'll pick it up next Sunday probably, is called The Spirit and the Word. Chris opened up this morning. What's the Pastor Al's, what do you find this church, right? The worship, prayer, and the Word. Amen. Worship and prayers, engaging the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, right? Amen. Flesh will fight you when you want to pray. Think about that, church. How many times you sit down to pray? You're having a great day. You pray for 9 seconds, and your mind is running all over the place. Am I the only one that happens to? You know what you should do? I'm for real about this. When you pray, get a notebook out, and when your mind starts wandering around, write those thoughts down over in the margin of your notebook, because sometimes it might be actually a decent thought. You know what I'm saying? How many times have y'all been starting to pray, and all of a sudden you think about like, oh man, I got to do that at work on Tuesday? Right? That's probably important. You should write that down. But when you write it down, you get it out of your mind so it's not rattling around in there anymore. Okay, I'm going to pay attention to that thought, but I'm not doing that right now. Can I get amen? But the devil will fight us when we try to read the Word of God. Amen. Jesus, think about this, church. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? To go on vacation and have a great week. Couple days. Now, led by the Spirit Pastor, I don't like being in this wilderness season. Well, that's where Jesus was led, by the Holy Ghost, into the wilderness to do what? Be tempted by the devil. Can I get amen? Could it be, my beloved, that you're in a wilderness season because the Spirit of God is leading you into the wilderness to show you how to overcome the devil? I mean, if that's what Jesus had to do to overcome the devil, and the Bible clearly says that we need to overcome some things, maybe He brings us into the wilderness, because in the wilderness, there's not a whole lot of stuff to distract you. Amen. You know, in Isaiah, he says, I will bring her into the wilderness and speak kindly to her there, talking about Israel. Wilderness is not a bad place, church. It's how we think about the wilderness that makes it a bad place. Amen. But when Jesus fights off the devil, I've said this before, but we need to be reminded of this because I need to be reminded of it. What does he do, church? Does he say, what does he do? He doesn't say, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. No, he rebuffs Satan with scripture. And what's interesting, if you actually study what he quotes, he quotes the law all three times. He's quoting from the law. Deuteronomy, it's like chapter 6 and chapter 20 of the two places if you study it out. Those are what he quotes from, right? So from the what we would consider to be the law, can I get amen? And then it was years ago, the Spirit of the Lord said to me clearly, he said, son, look, you got to understand something. The law is not written to the devil. The law is written to you. When Jesus says to the devil, says, hey, if you're the Son of Man, so questioning his identity, all these things are, if you're the Son of Man, turn these stones into bread. Jesus looks at the devil and says, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Right? The devil doesn't live on the word of God. You know, Jesus is like, he's looking in the, honestly, church, I don't know if the devil's even there. I think we always picture like there's a physical Satan manifest physically. The Lord said to me just recently, he said, boy, what if Satan is tempting Jesus the exact same way he tempts you, which is how? A thought in my mind. We always got this picture like it's the devil and they're sitting there with Starbucks talking with each other. No. I think Jesus is battling something in his mind. There's an evil spirit that's speaking to his mind. Hey, if you're really the Son of God, do this. Jesus, my beloved, uses the word of God. He does not rebuke the devil. He rebukes his flesh. You will not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. You will not. Takes him up on the temple. Hey, jump off the top of the building because it's written. The Lord will not allow you to dash your foot against his own. You will not put the Lord your God to the test. He's not talking to the devil. He's talking to himself. Third one is up on the mountain. Worship me and I'll give you all this stuff. You will worship the Lord your God and worship him only. Church, if Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, has to use scripture to fight the devil off, how on earth do we think we're going to do it if we ain't got some scripture loaded up in our Holy Ghost guns? Can I get an amen? Is that all right? Bob Sorge says it like this. If you're all word and no spirit, you'll dry up. If you're all spirit and no word, you'll blow up. But if you marry together the word of God and the spirit of God, you will grow up. If you're all word, you dry up, right? The Bible, Jesus himself says the letter, what, church? Kills. He's talking about the word of God. How many people ever heard folks use the word of God and twist it around and make it mean something it doesn't mean? How many people ever had the word of God used against you? How many people have been manipulated with the word of God? Can I get amen? All word, you dry up. All spirit, you blow up. How many folks seem crazy? Oh, the Holy Ghost told me I could jump off the top of a building. Probably not. I've seen folks, oh, the Holy Spirit told me I can do this. No, he did not. No, he did not. I'm not telling you that some spirit didn't tell you to do that, but it wasn't the Holy One. Is that all right? Oh, the Holy Spirit told me I don't have to forgive that person. No. No. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me I don't need to support my local church. And no. No, that's not what he said. Holy Spirit told me I don't need a pastor. No, that's not what he said. I'm sure you heard something that told you that, but it probably ain't the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I get amen? All word we dry up, all spirit we blow up, spirit and word we grow up. Amen. I met with a couple of people this week, y'all. We had a really nice conversation, and I kind of gave them some of my testimony, really about preparing to take this church over. So some of you maybe knew with us, I took over 11 years ago, and from our founding pastors who are here this morning. Amen. And but when I started Bible school, I was telling these couple people, I was in school and Pastor Al was shooting me all these books, you know, A.W. Tozier and Watchman Nee, all these like great theologians of old. And I'm reading all these books in Bible school. And one day I'm reading this book and the Spirit of the Lord says to me this. He says, put all the books down, read my book, and I'll teach you. And I was like, yo, I don't know what I'm doing. And I kind of, you know, I'm reading all this stuff to learn what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. But I knew the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I submitted it. Everybody say submitted. Everybody say submitted. Submitted. I submitted. Everybody say it again. Submitted. I submitted that word from the Lord to my pastor and said, do you think this is the Lord speaking to me? And he said, yes, I do. And you need to obey it. Everybody say submitted. Oh, I'm a prophet. I don't need to submit anything to anybody. Oh, really? That ain't the Holy Ghost either. My Bible says the prophets are subject to the prophets. Everyone prophesies in part. I'm just going to add a little side note here. We'll be done by two, I promise, absolutely promise. Amen, right? You church, the Apostle Paul, think about this, the Apostle Paul who gets radically saved, goes into the wilderness for 3.5 years, gets taught directly by the Holy Spirit for 3.5 years by himself, oh, right, in the wilderness. Sounds like a good place to go, probably. Amen, right? He's taught by 3.5 years. You know what he does then? I told this to a young man in Romania. You remember that, bro? And this young man, he was a 17-year-old guy. I'm gonna go preach the word of God. I said, you need to find a church to go to, bro. So I ran him through this whole Paul's journey. And I said to him, well, he knew that Paul got led into the wilderness. I said, what did Paul do after that? He goes, oh, he started planting churches. I said, wrong. After Paul comes out of the wilderness, he goes to Jerusalem and submits himself to Peter, James, John, the established leadership of the church that had already been birthed. And they're the ones that send him out, and he plants churches for 15 years, church. You know what he does after that? He comes back, and everybody say submit. He submits what he's done for 15 years back to Peter, James, John, the established apostles. And this he says, in case of what I've done, I've labored in vain. What? Paul, come on, man. This guy has literally led thousands of people to Christ. This guy is the dude that's like snakes bite this guy. He just shakes them off in the fire. This is the guy that's like shipwrecked. He's going to prison. He's incredible. And he comes back to Peter, who's planted one church, who saved about 9 folks. And he's like, is this okay? Did I do it right? I don't got to submit to nobody. That is an antichrist spirit. Just going to say it like it is. Can I get amen? Look, you want to know why there's such a movement? I don't need to go to church anywhere. Because leaders have abused folks. Now, that ain't right either. And God will deal with those folks. Can I get amen? That does not mean that God doesn't want me to submit to somebody because I got hurt once or twice or 25 times. It's what does God say about it? Can I get amen? So think about this, church. I met with these two folks. We had a great time. I'm driving home, and I'm thinking about what I said to them, right? What the Holy Spirit said to me. Let me get back to my story. So about 7-8 months later, I stayed in Bible school, gave Pastor all his books back, but I was still in Bible school, and I was writing this paper. I hit a wall, could not finish this paper. I tried like 4 times. And finally, I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm like, I'm so frustrated. Why can't I write this paper? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I told you, put all the books down, read my book, and I will teach you. And I literally said out loud in my office, oh, so you want me to quit Bible school too? This is going to go well, right? But I submitted, ever say submit, last time, I submitted that to my pastor, and he said, hey, if that's what God said, then you need to do it. All right, so I quit Bible school church. 2 weeks later, the story goes, the Lord brought a passage of scripture to me, showed me, like enlightened it to me. I've never heard it taught like that before. Really good stuff. So here's what's interesting though. I'm driving home from this time with these couple folks, and I'm thinking about this phrase, right? Put the books down and read my pack and I'll teach you. And what I've always got hung up on was the first part and the second part, but like what it was like the Holy Spirit brought it all back to me all over again and highlighted the middle part of the statement. Put all the books down, read my book. And, everybody say and. Yeah. And I will teach you. Anybody want to grow in their walk with Jesus? Well, eight of you. I hope more folks than that. Yikes. How many people need to get saved? All the rest of you, apparently. All right, come on, church. Yikes. How many folks want to grow in their walk with Jesus? Yay. All right, praise God. Listen, I'm just going to say, I'm going to look over here. If you do not read your Bible, you will not grow. You will not. You will not. It will not happen. So I don't understand it. You know, neither did I. Neither did I. How many people, I've said this before, how many people knew how to tie your shoes when you got born? Oh, nobody, right? You learned how to do that, didn't you? How many people knew how to drive a car? Nobody, but you learned how to do that, right? We learn how to do things that are important to us. Is that okay? So if understanding the Word of God is important to me, then I will put in the time and the effort, and I'll find folks that understand it better than I do, and I'll spend time with them, and I'll, church, we got so much information, so much stuff available to us today in our culture. You can get Bible software for free. There are websites, free websites, that you can go on, dig into all the same stuff that I dig into. I don't have time. Yes, you do. I looked right down here when I said that. Yes, you do. Amen. Am I suggesting that all of you should be preachers? Probably not. But you will not grow without spending time in the Word of God. Amen. So two passages of Scripture here. I'll be really fast, church. I really will be done pretty quickly here. Romans, because we're talking about the Spirit of God and the Word of God, all right? These things, they work together, church, all right? Look at Romans 8:13. Can you get that up real quick for me, Alex? Romans 8:13, then we'll go to Hebrews 4 just for a moment. Romans 8:13 says, if you are living according or in agreement with the flesh, you must struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and cry and fast. Oh, no, don't say that. You must die. But, ever say but. If, by the what? By the who? By the Spirit, capital S, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Pastor, why do I keep struggling with sin? Why sin keep coming around my life? Because you have not put to death the deeds of the body by the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Hebrews 4, check it out. Look at this. You guys are going to like this so much. Hebrews 4. I'm using my phone because I left my computer at home. We had a wonderful morning in our house. Anybody else? Jesus. Name. I was like, Lord, have mercy. What is going on? Hebrews 4, verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that. Oh. Rest. Everybody say rest. Church, want to know one of the biggest indications that you are figured out what it means to be adopted by the Father is you live in a place of rest. If you are not consistently living in a place of rest. I don't care what's going on around you. I'm talking about in here, right? Peace that passes understanding, joy unspeakable, full of glory, right? Love, joy, peace, third fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? If you're not living in a consistent place of rest, it is an indicator that you have stepped out from under the grace of God and you're trying to work things out on your own. All right, look what he says here. We're going to back up. Alex, get ready to back up a couple of verses for me in just a minute. Let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall. Fall from what? Apparently fall from the rest that God wants us to be living in. Through following the same example of what, church? Oh, there's a big bad word. Look at verse 12. Here's the one we all know. Let's all say it together. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit, right? As piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Notice what is able to do this, church. Is it the Spirit of God? Or is it the Word of God? Huh, isn't that interesting? Now, if we back up just a couple of verses here, I want to show you something. Just hang in there. Verse 8, Alex, give me verse 8, bro. No. Give me verse 7. He again fixes a certain day. Everybody say today. You know what day today is? It's a trick question. Today's Sunday. But you know what tomorrow's going to be when you wake up tomorrow? Today. You guess what day Tuesday is going to be when you wake up on Tuesday if God wakes you up? Tuesday is going to be today as well. And Wednesday, if you make it that far. Yeah? In other words, this is a present tense command from the Lord. Everybody say command. He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as he has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Amen. Joshua, if you don't know, Joshua is the Old Testament guy that led them into the promised land, the land of rest, right? The Bible says in that story that God gave the Israelites rest on every side, right? All the enemies were everybody left them alone. Can I get an amen? Right? So, verse 9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Sabbath is not meaning of one day a week, church. I think when I see Sabbath rest here is meaning a permanent place of rest. I'm living in the Sabbath of God. Now, that doesn't mean, I've seen some preachers now that are getting back into like this 24-hour period every week where they literally unplug. There's no ministry, there's no nothing. They step away from everything. They don't work on their house, they don't do nothing. Probably not a bad idea. Can I get an amen? Verse 10, for the one who has entered, everybody say his rest, has himself also rested from his, lowercase h, his own works, is what he's saying there. As God did from his works. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Everybody say disobedience. Let me show you something here. What we think about, I'm almost done, for real. We think about disobedience like this. We think about, you know, the speed limit is 65 on the highway, and we decide that we're going to go faster than that. We're technically disobeying the speed limit sign. I've just heard about people that do that. That's what I'm saying. I don't. I just said I heard people do that. That's what I said. That's not a lie. How about this one? Here's one. how many of y'all gone to the movies recently? How many of y'all snuck your own food into the movies? Oh, no hands went up. and you see the little sign on the door that says no outside food or drink. Yes. Well, maybe if y'all were charging us $27 for a bag of Skittles. Right. Man, for crying out loud. You know, just take my credit card, man. I'll leave the tab open. Dude, crazy, right? But technically, my beloved, we're being what? Disobedient to the policies of the movie theater. If you feel convicted by the Holy Ghost, then that's fine. I'm going to keep bringing my own snacks into the movies, all right? And if the... I don't think I'm risking my salvation for that. In the name of Jesus. Someone on Facebook's going to be like, that's it! That's not the Spirit of God. But here's what... the Greek word here, church, you're going to like this so much. I was like, oh my gosh. Disobedient. Here's the Greek word. The Greek word is P-E-I-T-H-O with an A in front of it, right? So P-E-I-T-H-O with an A in front of it. I have no idea how to say that, but this is the Greek word. But let me tell you this quickly. Okay, P-E-I-T-H-O, that word means to have confidence. To have confidence. And the Greek word for faith in the New Testament is P-I-S-T-I-S. Pistis, probably, but I'm probably mispronouncing that as well. Here's what's fascinating. The Greek word for faith is actually built off of this other Greek word, P-E-I-T-H-O, to have confidence. The word disobedience puts an A in front of that, which makes this word a negative word, meaning a lack of confidence. So if we put this word, I don't know why they put disobedience, but here's the deal. If there's a rest still available to us as New Testament believers, right? And he's saying, please be diligent, right? Work hard at it. Make every effort is this word, right? Work at this to enter this rest. You just because you got saved doesn't mean you get the rest of God, right? Just because God delivered Israel out of Egypt doesn't mean they automatically get to go into the promised land. There's a journey that has to take place, my beloved. Just like us, because we got saved and said yes to Jesus, there's a journey that you got to go on and work at your salvation with fear and trembling. You got to grind some stuff out of your soul. There's some stuff that you're still thinking like you're living in Egypt. God can take you out of Egypt. It's a whole nother journey getting Egypt out of you. Yeah? Or is that just my experience? Anybody ever, you've been saved and you do something, you're like, what on earth is wrong with me? Yeah. How about this morning? Anyway. Yeah, right here. One honest person. Praise God. Church, here's what the deal is. The 12 spies that Moses sent into the land, almost done, I promise. Please hang in there. Their job is simply recon. Right? Go in here, check out this land, tell me what you find out. Right? They go in, they check it out. Jericho's got big walls, there's giants living in the land, all this stuff. They bring back a cluster of grapes between two dudes on a pole. One cluster, they get so big they had to carry it on a pole between two guys. Right? And they're like, hey, look, the land is cool. Man, wow, great, flowing milk and honey, blah, blah, blah. But there's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers on their side. There's no way. We should not go up and take this land. The Lord has been telling these guys for years. This is your land. This is your land. This is your land. I'm giving it to you. I'm sending my angel ahead of you. He'll prepare it for you. You're going to take it out. It's going to be awesome. And they get 40 days wandering around in the promised land, 40 days that their faith should have been growing. They should have been becoming more and more confident. Man, look what God's going to give us. Look what God's going to give you. Look what God's going to do. God's going to take these guys out. God's going to take this out. God's going to take this city down. God's going to do this. God's going to do that. But instead, they became more and more fearful. Geez, how's God going to do that? I don't know. Dude, you just walked through the ocean on dry ground 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago, bro. You got to stop and chop rotisserie chickens falling out of the sky every day. You You've got toaster strudels in the, on the ground every single morning for breakfast. You got a rock that's following you around with water coming out of it. Dude, how's God going to take care of that city over there? I don't know, probably miraculously like he's done everything else. Dude. They come out of the land and they fill God's people with fear. God kicks them out. He says, for one year, for every day, you'll wander around in the wilderness, making circles, until this unbelieving generation dies out. Years ago, I was reading through that story for Bible school. I said, Lord, how long do I got to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? The Lord said to me, you will wander in the wilderness until your unbelief dies. In the wilderness, you know what God was doing for them, church? Food, clothing, provision, protection, victory. They actually beat two kings. Read the story. They conquered two kingdoms in the wilderness. And I started thinking about that. I said, oh my gosh, this sounds like church. Sounds like church. The only thing that they didn't have in the wilderness was rest. Any given moment, that pillar would have got up and moved. It could have been 3 o'clock in the morning. The pillar starts moving. Bro, trumpet blast. Pack it up. We got to go. They had no rest. No idea when their entire life was going to be uprooted and they'd start walking around again. Is this all right? What, according to the writer of Hebrews, what is preventing us from living in this place of rest? It's not just, I didn't follow the pool rules. I went 72 and a 65. Sinner. What this word means, church, is I am not confident in what God has spoken. And the way that I know that I'm confident in what God has spoken is that I respond to it in faith, confidence. Way back in the day, my mom used to come to my house. I was just really on fire for the Lord. And we'd sit and I'd say, Mama, you know, God's going to do this. God's going to do this. All this stuff. And she finally went in, she looks at me and she goes, how do you know that? I was like, I just do. I don't know. I don't know. I just do. Because you know what, church? I was reading the Word of God. I was reading the Word of God. Amen. Think about this. Let's stand up. Two things right here. We're done. Told you. Thank you for hanging in there. A little bit longer, but that's all right. Do you know what the Holy Spirit will not give you? Faith. If we can buy into the fact, according to the Bible, I've studied this extensively, go study it yourself, it's the truth. Faith, my beloved, we've made that very spooky. Amen? Faith, the word means confidence. I read something in the Word of God, I said, man, I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to step out on it. I don't care if nobody understands what I'm doing, right? How many of y'all tithe? Just be real. And I'm not trying to get you to tithe if you don't, right? We tithe because we have faith. We're confident in what God has spoken about it. Can I get amen? Right? God says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing on you. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. All the nations around you will call you blessed, right? All these things go on. We say, I'm in, bro. Sounds good to me. And so we're confident that God will do what he said he's going to do. So I step out in obedience because I am full of faith, which is confidence. I'm confident that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Well, Pastor, when? I don't know when. He never says that. You know what he says? Soon. Behold, I come quickly. I think your definition of quickly and mine are slightly different. So church, the Spirit of God will not give you faith. You know what does give you faith? The Word. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing and hearing by the Word. By the what, church? By the Word. And it actually says of Christ, if you pay attention. The Word of Christ, meaning the anointed, spiritually uncovered Word of God. Can I get an amen? You know who knows the Bible real good? The devil. You think he's anointed? No. He don't understand the Word of God. He can just use it against you, twist it around, try to get you to do stupid stuff with it. Can I get an amen? Hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. My beloved, before I even read the Bible, I was brand new. I really started digging in and going after the Lord. The Holy Spirit would bring a phrase into my mind, and I go, man, that's in the Bible somewhere. I literally, boom, it would hit me. I go, I know that's in the Bible somewhere. And I get my Bible out and go find it. Just recently I had this one. Don't exasperate your children. Ding, just pops into my head. Don't exasperate? What? I've never said that word my whole life. Exasperate? What? But you know, I was like, dang, I'm like, that's in the Bible. I just noticed. I went and looked it up and I found it. What? It's in one of Paul's writings, Colossians or maybe. And Paul says it twice. The other spot he says, don't provoke your children to anger, right? But he says the same thing in a different, and one of his other letters. But that's literally the phrase, don't exasperate your children. I was like, who on earth would think about the word exasperate? But the Spirit of God was leading me to the Word of God. And I heard the Word of God from the Holy Spirit, which built my faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Can I get amen? My beloved, I'm telling you the truth. The Lord spoke to me all those years ago and said, as you read my book, I will teach you. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't like me better than he likes you. He probably likes you better than he likes me, to be honest with you. I drive him nuts once in a while. Can I get amen? If you will commit to get in the Word of God and say, oh God, teach me. Teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me as I open the Word of God. He will teach you just like he teaches me or anybody. Oh, that person's got such a handle on the Word of God. You want to know why? Because they opened up and spent time in it. Nobody that's got a handle on the Word of God, it just osmosized into their brain one day. They opened it up and spent time in it. Can I get amen? So Lord, in Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, right now that every single person in this room has the same exact same ability, anointing to understand the Word of God. I'm not saying you're going to be a teacher of the Word. It's a different situation, but that you can hear from God. You can hear from the Word of God. You can open your Bible and have something to jump off the page and grab your eyeballs and say, look at this. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the power of your Word and the power of the Holy Ghost in your Word. So, Lord, I thank you right now that faith, as we get into the Scriptures, Lord, being led by the Holy Spirit, that our faith will rise, our confidence in who you are and what you have said, God, will rise and rise and rise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Facebook and YouTube, blessings. Have a good week. Wednesday, prayer.